If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I'm so thrilled today to be talking to someone that I've been following on YouTube. I've been listening to her, and I'm so excited to share her wisdom and her insight with you. Today, I'm talking to Maria Nereslimova on the topic of courage and inner knowing for 2025. Welcome to the show, Maria.
Thanks for having me, Natalie.
It's so good to be here with you. And for those of you that don't know Maria, Maria is a spiritual teacher, channel, intuitive guide, accomplished CEO, serial entrepreneur, and author of 72 Keys to Manifestation, an ancient path of modern day alchemist. Known for her unique path that bridges high-level entrepreneurship with deep spiritual connection, Maria has been a dedicated channel for spiritual wisdom and healing since a life-changing awakening in 2018, all while running a nine-figure e-commerce business. Through her popular podcast, This Is Maria, Conversations with My Higher Self, and Our Sacred Universe, Maria shares esoteric teachings, trance-recorded insights, and guided journeys to help others connect with their highest potential. Her work spans across the light language transmissions, ancestral healing, and the revival of ancient feminine wisdom through the Path of the Rose, a lineage tracing back to Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, and other sacred feminine archetypes. Today, Maria leads retreats, workshops, and healing sessions worldwide. Her entrepreneurial success is guided by her intuitive gifts, helping her make impactful decisions and grow her ventures, including One Mother, a meditation app designed to foster transformative soul-level experiences, whether through books, spiritual journeys, or personal guidance. Maria's mission is to uplift others to align with their truest selves, embracing both the material and mystical realms for a life of purpose, joy, and ease. Oh my goodness, Maria, I'm so excited to have you on the show because going into 2025, people do want to know a little bit more about their purpose and I think have more joy and ease. We're going to dive into that. But before we do, I would love it if you could share with our listeners a little bit more about the journey that brought you here.
Thank you for asking. I have been an entrepreneur for the past, call it 12 years, living in New York City at the time. And it has been a wild ride. When I first came to the United States, I was very much sold on the American dream. Since I was a little girl, I was fascinated by entrepreneurship. Little did I know that back in 2018, almost 6 years ago at this point, I would have what I refer to as a spiritual awakening. So my psychic abilities really opened up at the time, and my life has not been the same since. Because I still continue to run my company. I continue to be very much immersed in the business world. And at the same time, I have a new calling. And that calling is sharing spiritual wisdom with my wonderful community. So that implies being on social media. I do channel, so I do tune into the guidance of my higher self. And I get guided by spirit and spirit guides on a daily. And so it has really transformed my perception of the world and what is possible. And it has been my joy to share my story and all the downloads and the insights that I've been getting from spirit with my community. So I think that is probably what brings me here.
Well, it is a fascinating time. And I think it is divine timing to have you as my guest at this time. Depending on when you're listening to this, my lovely listeners, it's either late 2024 or early or even further on in 2025. I would love to ask you, Maria, first of all, about courage, because my show is called the Up Your Brave Show. My business is all about connections, collaborations, and courage. It's a big theme for me. But for a lot of people listening to this, they will have had to call on their inner courage at some points, in specifically over the past 4 years, but also going forward. Can you share with us your view on courage and how people can call on or tap into their courage to navigate these fascinating, tumultuous, challenging, whatever we want to call them, times that we're living through?
Absolutely. Courage is a fire energy. So it's a very masculine energy. It's like the little sun burning inside of you that really helps propel you forward. I've always had courage because I'm a fire sign. And if you look at my natal chart, I have fire pretty much in every single planet, which is quite extraordinary. So I think I was born with a lot of courage. So for me, it's a very native energy. It's not something that I had to develop. I was born into it. And from that perspective, I'm very lucky. In my mind, I'm dipping into courage and how it feels in my body because, you know, since getting guidance, I look at the energy level behind everything. Courage actually lives in your belly. So it's a chakra that we call the solar plexus chakra. And it is your connection to your father and it is your connection to the sun. So in order for you to be able to display courage, what that actually implies is that you need to be in harmony with your inner masculinity, with your inner masculine energy. So we all have that irrespective of gender. We have the masculine and the feminine inside. And so I have noticed that for people to whom courage comes naturally, if we were to trace their relationships with their fathers and their brothers and all the other relatives who are men or male, you would notice that they naturally have a very harmonious relationship with their male relatives. And as a byproduct, they have a very natural and harmonious relationship to the masculine energies within. And so I think for anybody seeking that inner courage, I would say tap into your masculine. And if possible at all, heal your relationship with father, your own father. And, you know, whatever that entails, I know for some people, there is a lot of trauma there, but that would be the first place to start if you're looking to cultivate that as an energy.
That is so fascinating to me because I've always considered myself quite confident, quite courageous, depending on the scenario, but interesting because I always, and I almost look at it a little bit like a flaw sometimes because I'm like, oh, I'm so strong in my masculine energy, especially as a businesswoman, like, oh, I probably should be a bit more feminine. Like I've gone through those types of thoughts, but it's very interesting to know there's a strong correlation between courage and, I think you said, being in harmony with your inner masculinity, which I feel like, okay, that makes sense to me why I'm so courageous and a good relationship with my father. No brothers, no grandfathers, and only a few uncles. Cousins.
Yeah. And something that I was also present to as you were speaking, I think very often as women who are very much in our masculine, we are trying to suppress that masculine and we believe that if we do, our feminine is going to come out. But I will tell you this, you can be 100% masculine and 100% feminine. You don't have to pick and choose. And so instead of trying to kind of like tamper down the masculine traits, grow the feminine one. So like sprout those seeds, put the little seedlings into the soil and grow things like intuition, you know, things like opening the heart and like being able, like compassion, forgiveness, all of those. And with that, you would notice that, yes, you can be courageous. Yes, you can display 100% of all of your masculine gifts and still be very feminine if you also allow your feminine side to come out. So both can do, you know, both can come out at the same time. I've been on my own path of, you know, my early days as an entrepreneur, I tried to suppress my masculinity because I was and still am a very strong-willed person. And I've noticed that the way, like, it's actually impossible to tamper something down if that is your native energy, or it's really, really hard. But what it was possible was for me to bring in the softness, which was that feminine side. And I noticed that the strong will, when it meets the softness, it's actually a much more palatable energy to my team. And they really love it. They find it motivational instead of scary.
Yes. And I'm just smiling here because this morning I came from my job where I work with the elderly and we had our Christmas party and I was wearing this very feminine green dress. And I thought, oh, I should keep this on for the interview, but I changed into my comfy clothes. but yes, I love dressing up. I do. And not that that's the only indication of femininity, but that for me, physically showing up slightly different in a more feminine way actually feels, I love that. So that's very fascinating reflection. All right, let's talk about 2025. I know this isn't a prediction session, and I know you're going to do that on your channel, so everybody can follow you on This Is Maria and watch for that. But do you have any messages or any wisdom to share with us as we navigate this interesting time going from the 2024 into 2025? Anything that's going to help people to really go into that with a fresh energy and a fresh start?
Absolutely. When I look at the energy of the year, I love to look at the numerology. So there is each year that we live, I can be condensed to one single number. So next year is the number of the nine. So 2025 is the year of the nine. 9 is the last number, 1 through 9. That's the only numbers we can get when we reduce the years down to a single digit. And so it's often a completion of something. I also call it an alchemical number because things are really going to come to fruition. There's a little bit of harvesting happening next year. So you may have been working on a project or an endeavor for many, many years. And finally, those fruits may start to come next year. 9, I love the year of the 9 because on the one hand, we really get to see the benefits of our hard work. At the same time, some of us are going to start feeling a little bit discombobulated because when something is ending, something also needs to begin, right? Because we don't live in a vacuum. And so a lot of people are going to live in a lot of uncertainty next year. That is the energy that comes through very, very much for us as a collective human family. So a lot of uncertainty. And it all also feels like it would feel like you can control some things, but there are so many other things that are outside of your control. And a lot of people are going to be questioning, pretty much everything about their lives. Like, am I with the right partner? Am I at a right job? Is there something missing from my life? And if so, what changes am I meant to make? And in terms of energies, next year is very fire and very water. And what we're being called to do is balance our masculine and feminine. It's ironic that this is how we started this conversation, but this is very much a calling for next year. And what does balance look like? Balance does not look the same for every single person. Balance is not 50 and 50. Your own version of balance between your masculine and your feminine would depend on you and the part of life and like your purpose, and of course, where you are on your journey as well. But there's going to be a little bit of that question. Am I a bit too much masculine or am I a bit too much feminine? Where am I too much and not enough of? And so it's a little bit of a balancing year as well. So just to kind of like sum it up what I said, it's a year of endings, but usually a good endings, right? Not like a breakup or like a divorce type of ending, but an ending where like you've been building towards something and all of a sudden, like you see light at the end of the tunnel and you're like, we've arrived. So there's going to be a lot of that, a lot of completion in a good way. Some people are going to start questioning what's next for me, because if we as human beings, we don't really love the in-between too much. We don't love liminal spaces. We love having answers. And so a lot of people are going to try to get answers. They're going to try to get clarity. Ironically, year of the 9 is not the time to get clarity. You start getting clarity in the next year. So 2026 is more of a year of clarity. And so I would say be comfortable with uncertainty. Next year is not supposed to be like a done deal. It's a discovery. It's a year of discovery. And so just kind of like one of the things usually with years with a lot of uncertainty that I recommend to people is tune into your inner guidance. I call it drop into your heart, if you will. I like to almost imagine that inside of my body, there is like a mini elevator that goes up and down my body. And when I want to drop into my heart, I just like press a button on that elevator that says heart. And all of a sudden, I'm just really centered. And like that's where I go in my consciousness on that elevator. And then from that heart space, it's so much easier to connect to proper guidance in the time of uncertainty, because of course, as human beings, we live in a society that is run by logic. And while decision-making from logic, when there is less uncertainty, that's probably a really, really good proxy. That's a really good strategy. But when there is a lot of uncertainty, making decisions from logic is not the best strategy. So the best strategy for next year is drop into your heart space and tune into your inner guidance. That soft, very quiet voice that you couldn't really hear unless you like tune out the rest of the world. And that is, that would be the recommendation. And also ask yourself, hey, what is rising in you? Because if this is a year of completion, this is also a year of new beginnings. So the good news is next year, we're going to have a lot of masculine energies coming through for planet Earth, which means that with that masculine influx, we can build something else new and different. We can create. I know there are a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this show. This is a really good time to think about what is the business that you want to start next, or if you need to pivot, or if you feel like whatever you're doing right now is not really filling your cup anymore. It's a really nice time to start thinking about the shift and the transition, and what are you going to really do with the next 9 years of your life. So just be ready to be surprised also, because insight in 2025 is going to come out of nowhere. It's going to feel like very divinely guided. So yeah, listen, pay attention to the signs of the universe on top of paying attention to your own inner guidance. That's a strategy.
Well, I love this energy there, because the woman that I'm coaching at the moment, I asked them this question the other day, and it's basically, what are you done with? And when you say done, you do this big X with your hands. Like, I am so done with that right now. What are you done with in 2024? So listeners, I would love to ask you this question. What are you so done with for 2024 that you do not want to bring into 25? You are ready to, as I like to say, lovingly let go of that thing, that person, that relationship, that duty, that expectation, that obligation, right? Maybe it's an offering within your business and you're so sick of delivering it, right? Or something like that. And the next question is, what are you ready to create? What are you ready to call in or create in your life in 2025? And I think that's so synergistic that you mentioned that. And it's, these are such great questions to ask. And it's a different energy than asking, what are your goals, right? What are your resolutions? Which actually feels very 3D, and that feels very masculine energy. This is a little bit more visionary of, what do I feel called to do? And I love that you mentioned about the inner guidance, because so often we listen to external things. How can we separate, right? How can we separate, especially in this world we're living in, Maria, with the, you know, people say it's a spiritual war, it's an information war. We are, did you hear about this? Oh my goodness, did you hear about that? We can get so caught up in what's happening that we don't know how to connect. How can we better be able to close off or separate ourselves from all that noise and information and really tune in? What are some specific techniques that we can do?
Oh, thank you for asking that. There is a technique that I love. I call it the dome. It's a meditative technique. So you really need some alone time, some quiet time. And it's perfect to do that in the morning when, you know, when you have some alone time and nobody's disturbing you, when you don't have to rush just yet. So picture yourself under a dome of white light, like completely sealed off. And then you would notice that, you know, or like essentially what usually happens is inside of that dome, there would be all of the people you care about. It'd be like your parents, it'll be your siblings, it'll be your, you know, if you have any children, your spouse, your coworkers, like there's, it's really busy inside of that dome.
Your pets. Point.
Yes, your pets, everything, the world, the news, everything is inside of that dome. And then what I like to do is I remove all of these influences one by one and I take them outside of the dome. It's a glass dome. I can see, I can still see through it. And I know that those people are still there, but it's almost like you need to remove all of the eyes and ears from outside of the dome because you're never really fully alone. And it's about like a 3 to 5 minute process. And you would notice that once you remove all of these external frequencies and all of these energies, what remains is silence. And that silence is the most profound sound that you can experience. And in that silence, what becomes clear are the answers that are true to you. But in order to hear the answers, you need to first voice the question. So you can ask whatever question you want. But in that silence, you're going to be able to tune into your guidance. And additionally, centering and dropping into your heart space. So your heart can almost tell you the answer. It can be an amplification that you need in order to make this practice really, really potent. But it works every single time for me. And I found it to be very, very helpful to tune the rest of the world out. So you can finally hear you, the most important person in your life.
I love having the visual of that, you know, the dome, and people can be told to, you know, just quiet your mind and tap into your inner thoughts. But when you have something like that, so I picture a dome, I can see all the people in there. There's a process, and I love that. And it doesn't take that long. Thank you. I'm going to try it.
I love this one.
So if we're able to tap into our inner knowing, that is going to help us to, I guess, navigate, like you said, it's more uncertainty. I feel like we've had many years of uncertainty, more uncertainty ahead. It's going to help us to feel more grounded, more connected to who we truly are?
Absolutely. And the other part is, I mean, everybody talks about meditation, but meditation is another thing that I would recommend as you're navigating the tough times. I learned this the hard way, call it 6 or 7 years ago, when there was a lot of uncertainty in my business. I was, you know, the busy bee entrepreneur, you know, again, in New York City, and really stressed. it was the time when, you know, the business was running out of money, you know, we were not really on a growth trajectory. And I really noticed that, you know, I was looking for ways to relieve stress. And, you know, like most people do, I'm like, okay, maybe it's a glass of wine in the evening. And then I realized that, you know, too many glasses of wine later, that's not necessarily leading me down a healthy path. And that is when I started taking on meditation. And but not just like quiet down your mind type, because that was always boring for me. I would do guided meditations when I can like picture something and like go on a journey. And that felt fine to me. And that felt exciting and interesting. And I have noticed that just the simple act of like sitting in meditation for like even 10 minutes a day in the morning before I started my workday completely changed my state for the entire day. I would notice that I would be less anxious. I would be less worried, definitely less stressed. I would move a little bit slower, which doesn't mean I accomplished less. I actually accomplished more. I just wasn't rushing anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I noticed I didn't need that glass of wine at the end of the day because I felt like things started coming together. So for me, meditation has been a lifesaver. This is something that I do religiously now every day as a stress reduction technique. And I don't even feel myself anymore if I don't meditate. But when we're navigating a lot of uncertainty in the world, especially if the world feels strange, cruel, there's a lot of happening and we cannot really control anything. The one thing that really helps is finding that island of peace within. And the best way to do that is through meditation. And, you know, for those, because I know like a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of women are so busy because we have to do everything all at the same time. And we have families to take care of and we have jobs and we have, you know, we need to prepare meals and all of those things. But slowing down for those 10 minutes every morning is what is going to set you up for success for the rest of your day, because you cannot really help anyone from a cup that is empty or when you yourself are anxious or worried about the future. And so not only that, but we as women, we carry the torch of energy for our entire family. So how a mom feels in the family or how a female feels in the relationship, that's how the spouse is going to feel. That's how the kids are going to feel. That's how the parents are going to feel. Like, you know, we as women, we really are transmitting towers of frequency. And so if what we're transmitting is worry to our kids, then they're going to feel that twofold, threefold. But if we can transmit peace and calm in this time of uncertainty, then our families become happy because we're literally responsible for preserving the emotional states of everybody that we touch. And I found that meditation is a really, really good life hack.
I love what you just said, transmitting the frequency of calm and peace, because it's so easy. And I know I keep saying this, but off the back of the past 4 years, 5 years, depending on, right, the COVID situation, you know, I even my own personal experience has been very challenging relationship wise with different viewpoints. It would have been so easy for me to transmit anger and transmit frustration. But I feel like I've been transmitting, which is very much my natural state, is like joy and hilarity and fascination with humanity. And I am actually very pleased to hear that, wow, the frequency that the woman is transmitting, it creates the pulse or whatever of the people around her. Well, that's a great responsibility as well as a brilliant opportunity, isn't it?
100%. Yes. And if there is one other thing that I would add, sometimes what creates uncertainty for us and this anxiety, which is this raging fire within, is not really what's happening in our lives, but what we see on the news. And I think we're living in such an interesting time because information is readily available, more available than ever before. And of course, you know, it doesn't really pay to show any positive things on the news. So, you know, what drives clicks and what drives views are all of the terrible things that are happening in the world. And so, of course, all of the news channels are showing only that. And so I think it can get really, really overwhelming if you do tune into the news, especially if you do that religiously, that almost like no amount of meditation could help if you just, you know, watch an hour of news every day. Mm. And I understand this concept of like needing to have your hand on the pulse of what's going on, because that's how it's almost like we're wired to believe that if we only know, we can better prepare, we can somehow control reality. But in fact, what's happening is Like if you were to imagine yourself as like an empty glass vessel, what you're putting inside of that glass vessel is really going to impact your life and your quality of life. News is like dirt. It's like putting dirt in that glass vessel. And then like it's going to take you so much effort to try to even excavate all of that dirt from your own personal vessel and from your energy field. So my personal strategy is to watch as little news as possible. And I've also noticed, because like I did experiments on myself, a few years back, and I went, you know, from watching news every day to not watching news at all. And like my level of happiness just spiked. And I noticed that I didn't even have to do anything additional, just tune out all the negativity that was coming through, you know, all of the channels for me. And that's another part about navigating uncertainty. You will find out that, you know, if you just tune out all of those external sources of data and information that are not really positive, you would notice that maybe there is not quite so much uncertainty as you originally thought. Maybe the world is actually not such a terrible place.
Well, when you talk about the news, it's really easy because straight away my mind goes to traditional, or as we call it, legacy media, like the news on the TV or looking up a certain website. But nowadays with so many other channels, even for me, I totally do that. I'll be like, oh, I'll just quickly check Telegram, you know, to see if there's anything, and I'll scroll and I'll click and I'll have a look. And I guess I consider that good, not so much good news, but truth, freedom orientated news, and therefore not the same as legacy media, but it can have the same effect, yes, as the dirt that you talked about that's going into the glass jar.
Yes, absolutely. Because everything and anything you come across with can impact your state. And on Telegram, depending on, you know, who you follow and what channels you're in, what people can be discussing is the news or something else that's happening that's not, very positive. So yeah, I'm very careful with what I consume as far as information, because I have noticed that it has 100% impact on my well-being.
Absolutely. So for everyone listening, have a think about yourself. And in 2025, not so much a resolution, but it might be thinking about how you are intentionally going to go about your day, operate in your own life. You might decide to consciously cut down on your consumption of, it might be news, or it could even be podcasts, right? So podcasts or other things, be very intentional about who you do listen to and what you take on board. I think this is common guidance, but it's a good reminder when we are really surrounded by so many opportunities to consume news. That's the thing. We can consume it 24/7 if we wanted to.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit. I know things change by the day, speaking of news, but you are in America, specifically New York. I am in Auckland, New Zealand. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the world at the moment. And I know it's so easy for people to focus on, and we cover a lot of this on Reality Check Radio, a lot of the 3D stuff of what is going on with this political party and this particular submission that you can fill out and be part of. There's a lot of things going on. What message do you have, or what is the pulse of the people in your society, I suppose, like your physical in New York where you live, but also the realm of people that you surround yourself with? And I know you're international because now you've got, 80,000 subscribers on YouTube, 169,000 people on Instagram. What is the pulse of the people specifically geographically in New York and then in your wider international community?
Yeah. Well, I'm currently in Florida, so it's very different than New York. New York is very solar plexus based, means it's a land of overachievers. I mean, it's no big surprise. New York is a place with one of the highest concentration of millionaires and billionaires of anywhere in the world. And so anytime I come to New York and, anytime I stay there for a prolonged amount of time, I certainly feel my overachiever muscle being stretched. And I'm already an overachiever to begin with. So the fact that New York can amplify that in me is, I think, pretty extraordinary. Another part, though, about New York is no matter how much you have is ever enough. So that, I think that is like the shadow side of New York, because there's always somebody out there that makes more money than you, has a better career than you do, has more employees than you do. So there's a little bit of that. Now, do I at this point get impacted by that? I don't, because I feel like I live in, and I don't even say my own bubble, because I don't think that would be a fair, a fair analogy here. But I have very intentionally crafted my world to be very positive. And I have surrounded myself with people that vibrate on that same frequency as me. And so when you're asking me what, you know, where does my world vibrate at and what do I feel from my community, it's actually very different from, I think, the rest of the world. My community is, you know, very service oriented. You know, we love helping people. We are very heart led people. We are motivated by love. You know, we have very open heart centers. In my community, what my world is reflecting for me is, you know, are all of these people who are creators, who are creator beings. They're, you know, chasing dreams, but not in an overachiever type of way, in a very sustainable way. And they're leaving very heart-led, purpose-led lives, but it's not a hustle culture anymore. Mm-hmm. It's actually the opposite, where I've noticed that with like hustle culture, which is what I used to subscribe to, you work crazy hours, but it's also very linear. Like, in other words, if you want to make more money, you have to put in so many more either hours or like, it's just like very linear math. And once I started delving into the world of spirituality and very consciously recrafting what I watch, what I consume, what I believe in, the whole nine yards, I've noticed that my world has become a lot more exponential. Like, the growth of my business and everything, it's very exponential. In other words, I cannot explain why it works or why things grow or why, you know, quarter over quarter, I'm seeing fantastic growth numbers, but, you know, it is a reflection of my state. Mm-hmm. And so it's a reflection of the state of being that is very abundant and, you know, very heart-centered. And in other words, I work fewer hours than I used to when I was in hustle culture. I probably get more done, ironically. The business is better off, way better than it has ever been. And at the same time, I'm in complete peace and I have, you know, all the hours in the world for my spiritual practice and everything else that I want to do. And the people that surround me are very aligned, very peaceful, very calm, very loving, and are doing something that, you know, that they truly came here to do. They live on purpose and not just like a, you know, they're not just working a 9-to-5 in gold handcuffs because that's what they have to do to make a living.
Well, it really brings to mind that, you know, that phrase, work hard, play hard. Someone even said it the other day, oh, you know, work hard, play hard. And I was like, no, I feel like work hard, play hard is maybe 10 years ago, but that's not the way I think to, well, at least for me, that's not the way to live and thrive. And I feel like you're right going forward. You use the word alignment. I'm such a fan of really aiming as much as possible to live life in alignment, including what you do with your work role. And it's incredible. It just goes to show you, when you surround yourself with people like that who are also creating heart-led, it sounds really similar to my people. We call them soulpreneurs or heart-centered people that are here for impact, not just income, is a very different energy. So that's amazing. Congratulations on your community that I know you've built over many, many years. And it's exciting to hear that things are flowing. And that sounds like because you are in alignment. Is there anything specific, anything else specific other than the glasses of wine that you lovingly let go of, that you intentionally stopped doing in order to live more in alignment and allow this feeling of flow to grow?
I stopped saying yes when I actually mean no. And that in every area of my life, I just gave myself permission to not show up to a party if I don't feel like being there, or to a networking event just because every person that I know is going, or to a conference, like if I'm invited to speak, but that does not feel aligned with where I want to be. I've been saying no more often than I've been saying yes. And that has been feeling very liberating. And I also actually love that you mentioned like work hard, play hard. I think that is such a masculine mentality. And I think in the world of business, we're starting to graduate from masculine only mentalities, because that feels very Wall Street to me, like the work hard, play hard mentality. Which of course is certainly something that, you know, for many years has been on, you know, again, going back to that hustle culture, has been center stage. And that was what it's been sold to us as the right lifestyle to have, as, you know, something we should be aspiring to. As a female, though, I don't aspire to like a hangover, you know, 3 nights out of the week, because that's just like, that does not feel good for my body. That does not feel good for my soul. That does not feel like I'm on my path either. And of course I'm spiritual. So I you know, I haven't had a sip of alcohol in what, 7 years probably. But that's beside the point. I think that as women, we really get to recreate what work culture can be, because we have access to what's called the flow, the feminine energy. And that is where we sit tight and things just align for us. And I, you know, I would not have believed that was real if I wasn't experiencing that for myself almost on a daily. Like, it is real. Feminine energies in business work just as much as male energies work. And I think we as female entrepreneurs get to redefine what work culture looks like, because as women, we have different sets of responsibilities, right? A lot of women have to take care of their children. And so like, which one is it going to be, you know? And I've also, you know, I don't currently have children, but I have tuned into, and I've spoken to so many women that do, and they're also running businesses. And they say that every single time when they are at home, they feel guilty that they're not working. And every time that they're working, they feel guilty that they're not at home with their children. And it's all this guilt, like damned if you do and damned if you don't. Like, no matter what you do, it feels like you should be doing something else as a mother in business. And that is also because I feel like we have, as women, bought into this male ideals of always being on. But the female body is cyclical. I don't need to tell any female that the female body is cyclical. We are in a monthly cycle. And of course, on a yearly cycle as well, we are supposed to hibernate a little bit in the winter and be very active in the summer. I don't know too many women that are doing that because we're 9 to 5. And yet, since my spiritual awakening, I have very much been tuning into my cycles and understanding that when I lean into my strength and when I lean into my natural flow, I can completely break the paradigm. And when I break the paradigm, things start happening for me exponentially. I work less, I accomplish more. I have all the time in the world for everything else that I want to do with my life outside of work. And it would not have happened if I stayed in the masculine hustle hard, work hard, play hard mentality. I think it's time that that is put to rest, to be honest. I think we're ready for something else.
I think we are. And one phrase that I love so much, I don't know who said it, is, you know, as women, we've been told you can do everything, right? You can do it all, which is actually it's a recipe for disaster, really. So I love the phrase that is, you know, yes, you know, you can do anything, but you don't have to do everything. And I feel like for some people, it's like, who haven't heard that before. Wow. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. For those of you listening, we would love to know your thoughts. What is resonating? Have you given up on the work hard, play hard culture? Or are you still living like that? Totally up to you. Or are you aiming to live with more intention, more alignment in your life and allow things to flow? Let us know. You can send us a text 2057. You can send us an email inbox@realitycheck.radio. All right, Maria, I'm about to ask you the Up Your Brave question. Before I do that, is there anything else you'd like to share just on that whole topic of working and be it living in alignment? Anything else that you did to make sure you, well, you said that you started saying no is the new yes. I love that. Is there anything else before we move on?
In my line of work, I often get asked about purpose. There are so many people that are obsessed with trying to find what their purpose is. Mm-hmm. And in 2025, what I'm sensing is even more people are going to start questioning again, because it's the end of the cycle. So people are going to be like, what's next? What is my beginning? What does it look like? I'm really confused. Two things I want to say on that. The first one is, so many people are living their purpose without even knowing that they're living their purpose. Somehow, some way, they are already living into it quite intuitively. So the first thing that I want to bring forward is relief. Just like remove the pressure from yourself that you have put on yourself, you know, trying to be a perfectionist, trying to get things right, and understand that where you are is already perfect. That's one. And two, when in doubt, always move in the direction of your joy. And I have found that to be a very, very effective strategy in life and in business. Following the joy is like following the breadcrumbs of the universe. following the joy doesn't sound like a plausible strategy, again, because we live in a very masculine world. And it sounds like, okay, so what, are we going to be all children now, just going to play every day? That does not sound serious. Like, who's going to, you know, earn the living? But what I have noticed is the more I follow my joy, the more I align with the universe, and then the universe starts helping me. And then I don't have to climb uphill. I feel like I'm just being carried. Life becomes so easy. And so my input, and I think my advice to everybody listening, is find those little morsels of joy, but most importantly, find the little joys and the big joys that you have been denying yourself, and literally put them in your calendar, schedule them, make it a thing. And when you validate those little joyful experiences, small joys lead to big joys and then to huge joys. And then all of a sudden, your entire life becomes this magical experience. But it all starts with that first step of allowing yourself to experience joy. Treat yourself a little bit. And no matter how small, but that will shift your frequency, because the frequency of joy is very high vibrational compared to where a lot of people are. And that always leads you down the path of your purpose. So I would say the path towards your purpose is experienced through this little morsels of joy that you follow. So that's probably the last thing I wanted to mention as far as strategies for next year.
That is so good. Follow your joy. It will lead you down the path to your purpose. I think you're right. And I was one of those people. I kind of still am. I keep saying, like, you know, universe, how can I have more impact? You know, what can I do to be in alignment with who I'm born to be? You know, those kind of questions. I know not everyone asks those questions, but I have always been like that. So I think that's a great, like you said, sign of relief. It's a shoulder drop moment where we can go, oh, okay, I don't have to worry. Am I in my purpose? Follow the joy. It will lead you down the path to your purpose. Love that. All right, Maria, if you were to truly up your brave in 2025, what would you do or not do?
I would probably go on more podcasts to share my story, if I were to up my brave. I've been sharing a lot on my own channels, but I haven't really had enough conversations with other people like this one. So I think my next frontier for me is, a year of conversation with others. That would really up my brave and put me, for the short term, outside of my comfort zone. But then it's all about expansion anyway.
Well, I think the world is ready for it. I think a lot of the topics you speak about and the wisdom you have, the world is now, humanity is now super curious about and ready to hear. So ideal timing. Brilliant.
Yes.
What is coming up for you in, let's just say, the next 3 months, 6 months? What's coming up, and how can people connect with you? How can they follow you online?
Oh God, what is not coming up for me, I think, is a better question. I'm starting to record music, which I completely surprised myself with. So I'm going to have some of my musical tracks, medicine music, healing music coming out. And we have also just launched my meditation app called One Mother. And this is probably my favorite baby of anything that I've ever launched. So it has over 100 meditations, and I channel everything. There are no scripts. So I just sit in my channel and I ask the universe, how can I best help humanity today? And the universe gives me a little thread to follow. And that's how I record these meditations. And like literally everything about this app down to the pixel is like a work of love. I put so much of my heart and soul, and my husband did. We worked on this together. And so I would love for people to check it out, because really it's like the universe guiding you through meditation. It's not really me. I mean, I'm just the vessel and the person that talks, but topics are not my own, and neither is that content. I'm just the conduit.
What is the origin story of the name? Is it like Mother Earth? Why is it called One Mother?
Oh God. It's so interesting, because the origin was very simple. I was sitting in a cafe on Sunday, and I turned around one day and I'm like, I see a woman in front of me, and she's wearing this t-shirt that says One Mother on it. And I'm like, oh, that's my brand name. I don't know what, it's something. It's going to be like my company one day. And then like, I turn around, and then I'm like, she has something else written on it. It's like, I just saw it with my physical eyes, but it said something else, I just realized. And so it just felt like a premonition. And then when I started diving deeper into like, what does One Mother really mean? So I believe that, One Mother is Mother Gaia, Mother Earth. So we all share a mother, at the very least, like this planet, we're all children of the same mother. But also, we have a divine mother that we also share, right? God, in my mind, is not just masculine. I don't prescribe to the old patriarchal beliefs that it's the guy on the cloud. There is a female face of God, the goddess, if you will. And we share her as a mother as well. And so one mother is this brand that really spans things that are very spiritual and things that are very grounded and material. And so it's the two mothers that we share, the Divine Mother and Mother Earth. And so that's the one mother origin explanation.
And if they want to find the meditation app, where is that? Is that on your website?
The app is actually in the Apple Store. So it's on iOS, and they can just search One Mother. And that would probably be the best way to find it.
Amazing. Can you let us know your names on and the channels you're on, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube?
Absolutely. So I am, this is Maria on YouTube, Maria with a Y, M-A-R-I-Y-A. And then I am at This is Maria Official on Instagram and TikTok. So those would probably be my main channels.
Amazing. I'm not on TikTok, but I do follow you on the other two. And it's great. You know, I got to say, I'm very spontaneous with what I listen to, and I'll just go to YouTube and I'll just, you know, find one of the people I follow. But if I ever want something that's uplifting and insightful and wise and calming, then I go to you.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because every video that I record, I do that in a particular state. So I get in the right kind of state before I hit the record button. And I have this entire process that really allows me to share those heart energies with the people. And so a lot of people mention that it's calming or soothing or uplifting. So I'm really glad you're feeling it too.
Yeah. And for those of you that haven't seen Maria doing her channeling, so you go to her channel and she'll literally be sitting there looking immaculate, I might say, from a fashion and background perspective, but with her eyes closed. And she's talking and she's just has her eyes closed. And you might not have seen that before. So when we're doing the interview here, we're chatting, she has her eyes open. But when she's doing her channeling, she actually has her eyes closed. Is that accurate to say?
That is 100% accurate. Could I do it with my eyes open? Probably. It helps me to tune within when I close my eyes, right? Because the outside world is very loud, all the lights and everything, you know, my cat running around. I really don't want anything to disturb the channel. And so I notice that when I close my eyes, it could just be me, my soul, and the message that we're here to share, and no distractions. And I find that really helps me put out the most profound messages that I'm capable of.
Amazing. What about your podcast? Where can they find that?
Yeah, the podcast is on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. Pretty much, any probably podcasting, like major podcasting platform. And it is, This is Maria again, just very simple, all the same name, pretty much everywhere.
Okay, everybody, I'm going to spell it one more time. This is Maria, M-A-R-I-Y-A. And you can find it. All right. Amazing. We will also put the links on the replay page with this, and hopefully we could share some video clips as well. All right, Maria, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about courage, inner knowing, or anything for 2025?
Just know that you already have both. You already have all the courage you could possibly need to navigate it. It's just about allowing that inner fire to rise in you. And inner knowing is all about water. And we both have our inner waters and inner fires prevalent, because one is the inner masculinity and the other one is the inner femininity. And so just trust that you got it. And next year is going to be fantastic.
All right. Bring it on. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to, or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.